Nothing new will be said here, nor have I any skill in composition. I have said this merely to perfume my own mind. My second gift is a gold net. Can you recognise it? Like Gnana Kamara, the short answer is no, I've never seen it before in my life. But I take it to refer to Indra's net, the image developed in the Mahayana era to communicate interdependence. Timothy Brooke, writing about globalisation in his book Vermeer's Hat, says when Indra fashioned the world, he made it as a web, and at every knot in the web is tied a pearl. Everything that exists or has ever existed, every idea that can be thought about, is a pearl in Indra's net. Not only is every pearl tied to every other by virtue of the web on which they hang, but on the surface of every pearl is reflected every other jewel on the net. Everything that exists in Indra's web implies all else that exists. So the golden net, as you know, is a teaching of interdependence, a teaching given by Bhante in the context of Buddhism for today and tomorrow, really on the creation of the Triratna Buddhist community, which suggests to me that it's also a vision for our community, for us. The second line of acceptance in harmony with friends and brethren that we take at ordination also points that way. So I know the theory, the beautiful golden theory, but the practice I find hard. Mostly because I'm not enlightened. The enlightened mind will see naturally how things are, and it does not pick and choose, which is why the net reflects everything. But I am not so inclusive. There are, I admit, order members I slightly avoid, but not you, obviously. And there are order members who slightly avoid me. Strange, isn't it? And yet, we are in the same web of connection. We took the same vows to join the same order. And speaking for myself, I aspire to accept that connection as a fundamental truth. And I also try and take it on as a practice while I aim towards that view. So if I wish to recognise Indra's net, can I leave anybody out? What if one jewel, for example, decides that we all need to go back into the stone tumbler, that we all need to glisten with the purity of the freshly cut? Other gems might resent or fear being dragged off. They might think in their pearly way, just because you want to doesn't mean I have to. Especially if that jewel, speaking for myself, already feels a little crowded, perhaps caught in the net or mesh. So right view says we are all part of the net. We are creating conditions for one another. Wrong view, my view, limited, restricted, wrong, starts to pick and choose. And with choice can come tension. Now, tension isn't always a bad thing. Without tension, the net is a puddle of string. But if the web is cut, if there's division beyond general wear and tear, the whole is lost. So what my question is how do we remain connected and still shine? I began by quoting Shantideva, which I do partly to manage expectations. The expectations are mine, but I generously project them onto everyone out there. Sometimes I do need to manage the expectations of others. And last week, I was part of a retreat for women training to join the Triratna Buddhist Order. It was a very powerful retreat. Vajradarshini was leading us through the skandhas, the lakshanas, and the vimokshas. It was an unflinching reflection on how I function and on how things really are. And at the end, we came out of silence and we spent a morning sharing what we'd learnt, our reflections, if you like. And people were very inspired and moved, not only by the content, but largely by the sense of community that we'd created in 10 days. There was a tangible confidence in the order, and this is a side note, if you don't go on Going for Refuge retreats anymore, do think about going on them. They can really create a sense of inspiration and a sense of it is possible. So back in the shrine, as people were speaking, this phrase started to emerge, when I become an order member, when I become an order member. And it was like it was a separate thing, outside of themselves. Faint chimes sounded, alarm bells that these people on some level thought, as I had thought on some distant level, that a distinct and irrevocable point of integration and a point of automatic ethical behaviour would arrive the moment a caser touched my neck and I became an order member. And I'd just like to, again, side issue, say that I am fairly integrated and quite ethical, but it takes effort. Yeah, it's not automatic yet. So I had the sense that they were seeing ordination, and maybe I'd seen ordination, rather like an episode of Mr. Ben. So Mr. Ben, given that it's a European convention, is a British animation from the 1970s where a businessman found a magical dressing-up shop. So every episode, he goes in, as if by magic, the shopkeeper appears. He puts on a costume and then he has an adventure in the manner of the costume, a spaceman, cowboy, or in this case, a Dharma fairer. And then he just gets changed, comes home, 5 minutes, you know, over, that's it. But I know from the other side of ordination that although there's a caser, there is no costume. There's just me. There's just me and my perceptions, my heaps, and a copy of the Dharmapada, and I'm trying to assemble myself in the direction of how things really are. And I've heard how things really are from several of you over the years. Thank you very much. But I'm just going to let you know I'm still trying to absorb it. Maybe I'm a bit slow. Maybe it's a bit hard to absorb. And trying to absorb it, I've entered into connection with you, really, with others who share that vision of connectedness. And as I do so in the order, I'm mirrored, I'm reflected back by my brothers and sisters. And I have glimpses of the luminous beauty of living with reality rather than living against reality. And that tells me it's possible and that encourages me. But there's a but. There's still tension, and there's tension between the reality of me as I am, the mud, and the beauty of the ideal. Now, I know it's a poem. I know it's an image. I know I'm not literally trying to become a pearl, but there is part of me that quite wants to be. And I want to live up to my ideals in connection with others. But there's also a part that wants to peel off and watch television. In fact, I want to write television. So I'm experiencing an internal tension between what I want to do, well, what I think I want to do, and also what I feel I should do, or what the collective needs. And sometimes, actually, I'd really like it if I just did it, but I don't want to. So, for example, Wyndham College. Yeah. When spending money that I don't have, crossing the country to spend 3 days in a state boarding school isn't top of my list. I do enjoy it when I'm here. You know, there's people, there's tea, there's paperbacks. Yeah, it's good. But I don't necessarily think I'm going to like it before I get here. And why I don't remember that I've liked it afterwards, I don't know. I'm deluded. So there's a bit of a struggle. There's a bit of a moment of, should I? And last year, I ran into Guhipati in a tea tent. It was raining, so, you know, we fell into conversation. And he said, oh, are you going to go to the convention? This was last year's convention. And I said, oh, I don't know. I mean, there's the money, and I'm trying to do this writing, and, you know, and this hall. It's all a bit, you know, ugh. And he just fixed me with his eye, with that Guhipati piercing eye, and said, but Kavya City, the more people who go, the better it will be. And my shabby little preferences and delusions were just exposed, and I felt shame for the meanness of not wanting to be there with my companions. And I felt shame for the meanness of thinking that I wouldn't make a difference, because everybody makes a difference, and not attending makes a difference. Now, I'm not saying everyone has to go to everything, but maybe we can talk about loyalty cards where you get the 10th one free. Just a thought. But I noticed the people that aren't there as well as the people that are. And those absences can make me sad. And I've been absent from my own centre. And people have noticed that. And I've got reasons, but still they want me to be there, and I want to be there. And I just want to talk about a difficulty. I don't really want to talk about it, I just want to say it's there. I've got a difficulty. It became messy, then it got complicated. And it's baffling. It's baffled both of us. We've tried, other people have tried. And it's you know, there it is. It's difficult. There are aspects to each of us in this difficulty that the other cannot see. We just cannot see each other. We just can't understand, let alone reflect each other back. It may have happened to you. You may have had just this baffling thing. And why I mention it is just to say, I think it's really important to learn how to stay connected. Because I kind of had to find my own way of how to do it. But I didn't want to withdraw. I didn't want to stay, you know, in it because it was painful, but I didn't want to cut off. So I tried, there were a few things I could try. The first thing, obvious thing, resolving it, I could develop insight. Things simply are as they are. They're not as I want them. Classic Buddhism. See that, said the Buddha, and you're laughing. I'm paraphrasing. But it might work on television, on, you know. So I could vent, I could rant, I could cry, I could lament. I tried that. Thank you for those that listened. I could develop faith, both in myself and in the order. So I did that. I wandered about on network. It's a wide-spreading net. And found what kept my heart open, which kind of echoes Guhipati's point about the more people that are around, the more diversity there is, the more chances there are for my heart to open, others' hearts to open. And lastly, I could practice. I could just keep going with it. I could try to unpick my view. Now, that's hard, but it's not impossible. So what I was trying to do was be open to another view, but that required a shift or a turning. And as anyone who's tried to reverse a car the wrong way or done yoga knows, some... You know, some twists, some harder. Yeah, some sides are easier than other to face. But that's really what I need to do. I need, and I want. I want to do this. I want to develop all the facets so I can reflect in all directions, not just those I habitually face. And luckily, life, friends, provide many opportunities to develop in different directions. Changing plans. Write one talk? No, give another one. Okay. Sing at a wedding, I don't want to. Well, we want you to, okay. You know, there's many, many chances to be flexible, to extend, and to become reflective. I'm just going to end with a line from Lama Govinda. He was writing on Akshobhi. We were looking at the five jhanas on the retreat. And he talks about the mirror-like wisdom of Akshobhya, which in a way is the mirror-like wisdom of the net. In the light of this mirror, he says, things are freed of their thingness and their isolation without being deprived of their form. I like it because he's describing my aspiration. I want to be free of my thingness, of my isolation, while still having a form in which to practice and communicate. So, dare I accept these gifts? Well, it's a wily teacher who wraps a challenge in a gift. And it's a clever teacher. And as with so many things, ultimately, the teaching is that they're not separate. The challenge is the gift. So knowing the value of these gifts, how can I refuse? Thank you.